This is Karen Ashley, and you're listening to From the Command Center.
Deep in the mountains, secret ninja academies train our future protectors. Ancient scrolls told of three who would be chosen above the others. Three who would become...
Go! Power Rangers, go! Ninja Storm, let's go!
Welcome to the collaboration between the Pop Culture Network and the Geekcast Radio Network. This is From the Command Center, the podcast, episode 14. I'm Scotty Cash, and joining me is TFG1 Mike from the Geekcast Radio Network. What's up, buddy?
It's time for a Ninja Storm podcast form.
Oh, yeah?
God. The Ninja Storm Ranger form, and I know we're going to get into this, but that's just... That's one of the cheesiest morphing sayings I have ever heard of.
It wasn't too bad. I didn't mind it.
Right, yeah.
There's worse.
That's true.
So, on my Facebook wall today, before we get started,
posted
the seasons 1 through 7 will be released in August
of
Power Rangers.
Yes.
For $220.
Now, the only difference is that I actually have the TV shows on DVD story pulled up here, and they say, and this
send me the link real quick. Is it the same? Is it the same one that you sent on my Facebook?
It's the same link that's that up on your Facebook wall. I'm actually gonna read from what they're writing. We also have to clear up some confusion about one aspect of the write-up. In it, we described how there is not any overall slipcase packaging for this title, and we went on to say that Time Life will take the separate disc cases in the action figure and wrap them in bubble wrap and power and send them to you in regular shipping carton. This info was characterized as misleading at a Power Rangers message board by an insider to this project, and after looking into it, we agree that we didn't really describe this the best possible way. What we were trying to communicate to our readers is this. There will not be a single slipcase or any other sort of packaging which houses all 7 seasons together on your shelf. What we made it sound like is that you won't get any slipcases at all, which is where we steered you wrong. Shout Factory is producing these DVDs and the packages for Time Life. What they will do is take the first 3 seasons and the entire run of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and house them in one slipcase. And then separately, there will be a second slipcase housing Power Rangers Season 4 to 7, Zeo Turbo in Space and Lost Galaxy. Time Life will take those 2 collections and the special bonus action figure, and those 3 items are what will be taken to wrap them into bubble wrap and send them to you. So for those of you who buy complete series DVD sets, you're not going to get all of these in one giant box. It's just going to be... the 2 DVD sets and the action figure,
which has already been released. So the action figure, I'm about 99.9% positive. I totally forgot to look into that, but I'm almost positive that that's just a figure they've already released.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely not an exclusive. They already released that figure, unless that's a 6-inch figure.
Yeah.
Does it say if it's a 6-inch figure or a 3-quarter?
Let me see here. In the meantime, here's a new description from Shout Factory, Time Life, and Power Rangers Season. As a reminder, the Power Rangers Season 1 to 7 from Mighty Morphin the Lost Galaxy title is only going to be available online from Time Life. Shout Factory will put smaller and more casually affordable sets in stores, starting with their 3-disc. It does not say about... the action figure, I don't think. Let me see here. Let me zoom out. Go back. I don't think it's
gives it's a 3 3/4. It looks just like a 3 3/4. Plus, it's got the gun that pops into the side with like a little stem, so it looks exactly like the 4 inch or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. Let me look here at the original story. Note that there's not any in the current. So you'll get a rare Bandai-made action figure of Mighty Morphin Red Ranger Jason wearing the dragon shield, which encased blah, blah, blah. On the TV shows on DVD page, it does not say whether it's a... Yeah, it looks like a Bandai 3 3/4 inch. It doesn't look like a 6 inch figure to me. So yeah, there you go. The Power Rangers DVD sets. I probably would get some of them for review at some point, but I honestly only want them for whatever special features are going to be on them. The entire run to this point is all on Netflix. So as far as watching the actual episodes on DVD, I don't care about that.
All right. I just sent you a link.
Yeah, I see.
Look at
it.
And tell me that's not the same exact figure.
Yeah, it looks like it.
Let's see.
Wow.
Yeah, same exact figure.
Yeah. Yeah, that, wow, damn.
Yeah, that's exclusive, except for it already came out a couple years ago.
Well, at least it isn't Mattel. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that crap. Ghostbusters incentive. What a joke. oh, boy. So what else you been up to since last time we talked?
Nothing really. I got some metal in my eye yesterday, and I had to go to a doctor, so now my eye's on fire, and I had to wear an eye patch for half the day. But besides that, I'm great.
So you were Scotty the Pirate Ranger for a while.
Yeah, you know what's funny is my daughter knew that I had something in my eye, but I wasn't allowed to put it on this eye patch until I had completely drove home. You know, that was the instructions from the doctor, because she didn't want me being a pirate, you know, running around. So my daughter falls asleep in the car. And I put the little medicine in, I put the eye patch on or whatever, you know. And I hear her waking up like an hour and a half later, and I walk in there, and she just looks at me, and she just kind of stares at me for a second, and she just goes, "Arr, matey." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, really?" Okay, now my 4-year-old has jokes. But, yeah. But the funny thing is I could never wear the eye patch. I just can't. I don't like having stuff by my eye or in my eye or anything, so it just drove me crazy. But besides that, that's about it.
Sweet.
I got the Avenger figures from the Walmart exclusive figures. I did a Hulk review. It's already up, but those figures are pretty amazing. I don't know if you're an Avengers kind of guy or a DC Marvel kind of guy, those kind of figures, but they're pretty good figures. Do you collect figures like that?
No, I'm out of the collecting business.
Yeah.
My descent into Maddie Madness drove me out. I'm done with toys.
Well, you still do Transformers, right?
No.
Oh, wow.
I'm done with everything.
You should sue Mattel for ruining your childhood, even though you're well past that.
Yeah, exactly. Ninja Storm. I don't think I ever, maybe an episode, I don't think I ever watched this when it aired.
Nope, never did. I actually, Time Force, no, yes, Time Force and Ninja Storm is ones that I never ever wanted to watch just because they were just stupid to me. I never ever seen an episode of Time Force or Ninja Storm while it aired. Never, not once. But Time Force was absolutely amazing, and Ninja Storm was good. Not great, but good. I mean, it kept a good story. Mm-hmm. There was a couple single episodes that we could have done without, but of course they were just filler episodes, so you know, there's no way around them. But you know, they brought in the brothers pretty early, and I was like, wow, this is kind of early for this. But then they kind of stretched it out and made them leave for a couple episodes, then brought them back again and did another storyline with them, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
I didn't care for the talking guinea pig, but it kind of grew on me the more it went. At first I was like, well, this is just asinine. I hate this right now. But you know, the longer I watched, the better it was for me anyway.
Yeah.
And I liked how Cam became a ranger. That was really awesome. Right. And I guess that's, oh, I hated the song at first. I still don't care for it too much.
Theme songs or intros to TV shows like Power Rangers, you either need a voiceover or you need an actual theme song, not a combination of the two. That's the one thing that takes me out of Ninja Storm's theme song is that voiceover intro.
I don't know. I also absolutely hated when they were like starting to like we call it Hulk up with their Megazord, and they would play that Ninja Storm song.
Yeah,
I was like, that's just so stupid. But the way they did it, the more I listened to it, I think I actually liked it that way. It was the theme song, but it said Ninja Storm, you know, and it kind of started like it was getting ready to play the theme song, but then it just played like an instrumental version. And the more I heard that, I didn't quite mind that. That was actually not that bad.
No, the instrumental is great. Yeah. I mean, it's just, like I said, and I think that's one of the reasons, besides the fact that the show kind of sucks so much, one of the reasons when I first watched Samurai, why I hated Samurai's theme song was because they would do, some episodes they would do a voice intro with a theme song, and then they would do just the theme song. And it's like, pick one or the other.
Oh, you're talking about like millions of years ago, blah, 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 blah.
Right, right. Yeah. And that's the same thing that Ninja Storm had, where he's like, you know, in the mountains, secret ninja, you know, that kind of voice, you know, either have a song or just have a voiceover. Don't have them both, because it, especially with the Ninja Storm theme song, because it takes you out of the music. It really does, because it's like, they will become, and then the voice stops, and it goes into the song. Yeah, I mean, there is no transition. I mean, there is, but it's a very hard transition. It's like, you know, me stopping talking, there being a, you know, bunch of silence, and then something comes in. It's like, oh, it's just weird. Yeah.
But the song, I mean, the song wasn't the worst thing ever. But
it's not one of the bad PR theme songs, but it's not one of the ones that I would want to listen to more than once.
Yeah, it's probably the worst that I've heard to date out of all the Power Rangers songs, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because, I like all the other songs.
Yeah.
Maybe even Poopy Turbo's not that bad.
Yeah. Before we get too far into Ninja Storm, I wanted to bring up something that I forgot to bring up last time when we were talking about Wild Force. What I'm loving with Disney taking over is that, and I think I did mention this in the Wild Force episode, but it continues here, where at least in Ninja Storm, it kind of goes away in Dino Thunder, because Dino Thunder, some episodes have happy endings. Not even the multi-parters in Ninja Storm, just a regular episode. Sometimes it will just end. And that, you know, you won't have, oh yeah, we saved the day. Let's go back to the, you know, juice bar or wherever the hell they go. Or let's go back to the school and train someone, you know. It'll end on just a quick note. It won't just be your regular. And I really like that about that transition. I thought that was kind of cool.
I see.
Yep. So, Ninja Storm, which I hate these abbreviations. You know, just call it Ninja Storm if you don't want to call it Power Rangers Ninja Storm. You don't have to call it PRNS. It's just, I don't know, all the letter abbreviations for Power Rangers, I mean, outside of MMPR, all the other letter abbreviations are just stupid to me.
Yep. I'm with you on that one. They're just confusing. MMPR is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and then everything else should have a name.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely with you on that. So what do you think about Ninja Storm as a whole?
I like it, mm-hmm. but I kept seeing, like, Ninja Turtles. Wow. Honestly, because, all right, Shane, he skateboards. Dustin, he dirt bikes. And Dustin's always, dude, oh my God, dude. You know, I just kept getting an internal vibe off it.
Well, I think I might have mentioned this in the last episode when we briefly talked about Ninja Storm.
Mm-hmm.
This was definitely the era of... when did this air?
Let's see here. No, well, what? No, it's
or, not. No, sorry, I apologize. 2003?
Yeah, 2003, I think, yeah.
Let's see, we better look that up because they will freak out and be like, are you guys stupid? This air, such and such and such and such. I don't see it on here. Anyway, this was totally the era when Bud Light was doing the Dude commercials and the Bro commercials, and everybody was talking about Dude, and there was a couple like...
yes, it did air in 2003.
2003. I was going to say 93, which would have been completely incorrect. but, you know, when I think there was a cell phone commercial or a phone commercial that was like, they had a complete conversation with Dude. Oh, dude. And that's why I think they were like, we got to be hip with these guys. You know, we got to really do what's cool right now. And that's why they're like, even the black leader was like, oh, bro, dude. And it's just like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, we don't need to be stereotypical and make him a gangster or anything, but we don't need him running around trying to be a white, you know, preppy kid with a surfboard either. But I don't know. I probably could have done without that. Without Dude, Bro, so much.
Yeah. I don't have any glaring issues against the series. I would have to say worthless villain ever. Lothar does nothing.
Yeah. He reminds me a lot of Ivan Ooze, which I love Ivan Ooze, but Ivan Ooze went in and got his hands dirty and fought. But like you said, Lothar doesn't really do anything. He just complains.
I mean, he doesn't do anything at all. He opens up a hole in the ground and lets a bunch of evil out. That's all he does the entire series. The rest of it, he's off yelling, you know, at his nieces in, you know, out of some corner. They force comedy on him because every joke out of his mouth is a pop culture reference or some current at the time, 2003, some current pop culture reference or some weird reference to something. And it's like, really?
I did not like how his nieces were stupid the entire season, except for when they were like, oh yeah, by the way, we're actually super smart. And
yeah,
we've been plotting this whole time and acting like idiots to form this great plan that is only going to last one episode and we're going to lose terribly.
I know it. Now, I never knew this because I had seen maybe four episodes of the series when it aired. And then I went on to Dino Thunder. And I never knew that the chick that played Mara in here is also the chick that plays Cassidy in Dino Thunder.
Who's Cassidy?
The reporter.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, same chick.
Huh. Okay.
Cassidy,
but, and what's his name, Devin?
Devin.
Yeah.
I never knew that, and because I always wondered in the Dino Thunder team-up why at the end they look at each other and they're like, oh, that girl's pretty. It's because it's the same girl. This is the first season to this point that has, because it was a Disney season, did not have a team-up.
Well, Wild Force was Disney, and it had plenty of team-ups.
Well, right, it did, but, like, this was like, yes, Wild Force was the first Disney series, but this was, like, Disney going all in on it. I mean, as far as everything, I don't think the MMPR company had anything to do with this series. I could be wrong. People can correct me, whatever. Because I'm not reading anything about it.
Well, I'm sure that Disney would thought that we got our own guys. We have our own team. We've done our own research. We don't need your guys. I'm sure they didn't have anybody from Saban or any of those. I'm sure they had their own guys. And, you know, I didn't even realize that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have to interrupt you and I have to correct myself. I should have read the information here in the script. Okay, let's see here. This season did not have a Power Rangers team-up episode like the five before it, due to a shift back to non-SAG talent when production was moved to New Zealand from Los Angeles. So, at the time, if you weren't in the union, you know, non-union workers really don't do, you know, a lot of stuff. So they went back to non-SAG actors. So that's why there was no real team up. It didn't have anything to do with really Disney. It had to do with SAG talent versus non-SAG talent, screen actors.
They should have met in the middle on something like that. You know, you don't want to break a tradition that's been going on this long. You know, even if it is only five seasons, that's still five seasons, you know, that they wanted to continue anyway. But I don't know. I don't know how that works, or if you're non-SAG or you are SAG, you break a contract, if you're kicked out or if you get fined or what. But they should have tried to do something to meet in the middle, because that could have been pretty cool.
I honestly, even if it wasn't an issue of SAG or non-SAG, actors, I honestly don't think, with how Wild Force ended, I don't think you guys, what could you really, how could you team the Wild Force villain up with the ninjas? It just wouldn't make any sense to me if it happened.
They could have done anything. There could have been some kind of Wild Force. They could have made something happen. There could have been, I don't know. They could have made it happen. They could have done some stupid story. they could have done it where maybe Ninja Storm went to where Wild Force was because of they were chasing somebody. You know what I mean? They could have figured something out. It just, you know, I didn't even realize until after the season was completely over, when I just stopped and was like, huh.
There was no team up.
There was no team up, and now I'm upset about it.
I'm honestly not, because I think, first of all, what I love about this series is that it pulls you in immediately. It just throws you all the punches right away. It doesn't hold anything back. You know, like you said earlier, you thought it was a little too early bringing in Blake and Hunter. I thought it was great, because you have boom, boom, boom. Within a series of episodes, you introduce the bad guys who will eventually become good guys and blah, 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 and that whole storyline. And yes, Blake and Hunter's story is essentially another, you know, Tommy-centric story, as far as, oh, we're bad because we were lied to, blah, 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 and then we'll be good. So I don't like the Blake and Hunter story. I think it's a really cool story. I think they're really cool characters. But I like that it happens right away, instead of giving us three episodes of just filler.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it happened at like, what, episode 7?
Yeah, something like that.
I guess we got a list here that we could probably see. Well, I know they show up and I'm like, well, this is a little early, but then they kind of tease it and they
right.
They're like, well, we're gonna go our own ways, you know, we'll see you later, and then they leave for a few episodes, and I'm just like, oh, that was kind of neat. You know, they kind of stretched it out a little bit, which I was happy with.
Yeah, it was,
it starts at, like, they meet him at episode 4, which I was
right.
Like, wow.
Yeah, Looming Thunder, and it goes to episode 6.
Goes to episode 7.
7, yeah.
Thunder Strangers Part 3. And then
Nowhere to Grow.
Then there's another two episodes, and then they do Return of Thunder Part 1, so... episode 12 is actually, let's see, episode 13 is when they actually become, you know, Rangers and start teaming up and stuff. So it's like, you know, they got a lot of episodes with them in there, and they kind of stretched it out, which I like, you know, that was
nice. I really did like that. And I like how, just like last season where we got, in Wild Force, we got different Power Rangers joining at different times. I like the model of, instead of just five right away and then the sixth and then whoever else is going to come in, I like how we start out with three and then we immediately get to the additional two, and then later down the line we get the sixth Ranger. I thought that was a really cool way to introduce them. Versus what happened in Wild Force, where it's like, oh, well, Taylor's been a Ranger for a year, and we've only been a Ranger for 6 months. I didn't really care for that timeline crap.
I did not know. I this whole time I was thinking that there was 5 Rangers on Ninja Storm. I had no idea that this Green Ranger existed, and that would have been really sweet, except for a couple days before I watched the Green Ranger episodes.
Yeah,
that I stumbled upon a picture. I downloaded on my Droid Marketplace, and it was like Sentai pictures, and it was like Ninja Storm. So I clicked it, Hurika, whatever it is.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool, look. And then it was like a Green Ranger, and I was like, well, what the hell's this? So I totally ruined it for myself like 2 or 3 days before the episodes played, and that would have been a shock, because this whole time I only thought there was 5. I don't know how I never seen a picture of these guys with a Green Ranger in there with them. So I ruined it for myself. Now, what are the things you dislike about this before we get into the characters and Zords?
There isn't much that I dislike. I already mentioned the whole dude and the whole, you know, turtle culture, man, all that crap.
Right.
You know, and the fact that Lothar is just a blithering idiot. I mean, he doesn't do... You can have a villain that wants world domination but fails every time. You can have a villain that wants to, you know, return the Earth to the dinosaur era. You can have a villain that, you know, drugs the other villain and gets them married to each other. And you can have all that. But Lothar, by far, to this point, and even going into next month's with Dino Thunder, Lothar to this point and even beyond into next month is the worst villain because he does nothing. Zurgane was a better villain than Lothar ever was.
I like Zurgane. And Vexicus.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah, those two were good. There was some stuff that, like I said, I didn't like how his nieces were, you know, stupid the entire season, and then all of a sudden they were geniuses, evil geniuses that been plotting against their uncle to build these, you know, Zords that lasted in one episode. I didn't really care for that. I didn't care for the ending. I thought it was kind of like, I don't know, it's like, we're going to use our powers even though we don't really have powers. It was kind of cheesy. And I didn't like how the Samurai Ranger was a Samurai Ranger as opposed to a Wind or a Thunder Ranger. I don't know how to explain it. And it probably makes no sense, but I just didn't like how he was a Samurai Ranger. I wish he would have been another Thunder Ranger or a Wind Ranger. Because this just makes me think that there's like 10 other different Rangers, you know, like a Sky Ranger. And
well, you got to remember, though, they say in the story that there are a bunch of Ninja Ranger schools all over the country. Okay.
Where are they at?
Well, we don't have to see them all. I mean, it's only a 40 episode season. Okay.
But it's like these three are the special chosen, you know? And it's
right.
Like,
well, what about right. The other Wind Academy? The other two are from the Thunder Academy. And Cam is from the Wind Academy, but he becomes the Samurai Ranger because he inherits it from his dead mother because he goes back in time.
Right. And the other thing I don't like about it is how he spins his helmet around to go into samurai mode. I thought that was kind of silly. I did love how he dropped his vest and it was like Thor's hammer, where it was like super heavy. And it just kind of like crushed the ground. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That was kind of sweet. But yeah, that's really about it. I mean, the ending is really what killed it for me. It was kind of boring for me, if you will. Because it was getting really epic. Because he was kicking the crap out of them. He killed their Zords. He took their powers. It's like, I'm just excited. I have no idea what's going to happen. And then all those other Rangers came. And I was like, okay, this ain't too bad. Or the other students came. And I was like, this ain't too bad. And they're like, look, now we're just going to push you down. And this whole show's over. Really? I don't know about that.
My only other real issue with it is actually... Because Cam wants to become a Ranger, He creates a cybernetic duplicate of himself.
Yeah, Cybercam. That's why he can do two things at once.
Okay. They could have come up with a better name for that.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Because think, okay, I'm not going to get graphic, but think about it, dude. Cybercam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. Maybe all the writers were on break that day, so they're like, "We'll just go with Cybercam."
Porn bots are just coming out of the woodwork as we speak because that's just, oh god, that was the worst name ever. If in the flashback of Cam's story when Samurai's Journey, when he went back in time, Lothar as his ninja self was more evil than he was when he got banished and his ninja identity was erased. I think if somehow they had worked the story around so he would stay what he was, but he just got banished without having to alter his identity or anything like that, I think that would have been better because the dude as a ninja, as an evil ninja, had better plots than Lothar ever did. And mm-hmm. then he got turned into Lothar, and it's like, oh, God.
So did you like that Lothar was Cam's uncle and Sensei's brother?
Yeah, I mean, it made sense. I mean, technically, this show is all about family and tradition with Cam and Sensei and all that stuff. I mean, that made sense to me. I didn't mind that at all. Because it's that classic thing of... And again, I got to look at it in turtle terms because it's the classic thing of... Shredder and Splinter fighting over a girl.
Yeah.
And of course, in this case,
Shredder but that's not necessarily a Ninja Turtle thing as a,
well,
a
that's
plot line that's been used thousands of times over and over, though.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into the characters. For the Rangers, we have Shane Clark, who is the Red Ranger and one of three main characters. He was portrayed by Pua Magasivia. I can't pronounce his name at all.
Magasiva.
Yeah. Tori Hansen, who is the Blue Ranger. She was portrayed by Sally Martin. Dustin Brooks, who was portrayed by...
Terrible. by Glenn McMillan.
Glenn McMillan, who is the Yellow Ranger. And then you have Hunter and Blake, who are the Thunder Rangers, Crimson and Navy. Is it just me, or is the Crimson uniform look like it's hot pink?
Yeah, I would say so. That it's kind of like a, yeah, like a metallic pink of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
And then Blake and Cam.
Okay. Out of the six, who's your favorite?
The Thunder Rangers, hands down.
Yeah. Well, favorite.
No, the Thunder Rangers, hands down, both of them.
You got to pick one.
I'm not picking one.
Well, then I'm going with Blake.
That's fine. I like their powers. I like their Zords. I thought they're very cool. I thought the storyline was very cool with them. Shane, Dustin, and Tori, it's just those three, like, they just don't do anything for it. Like, as Rangers.
Average. They're very average Rangers. The season wasn't bad by any means, but Rangers were very average. They were very subpar.
Yeah.
You know, I won't say they're forgettable because, you know, they did an okay job. I mean, they played the characters they were supposed to. I could have completely done without Dustin Brooks. He was the first male Yellow Ranger, which was ridiculous. I would have rather seen him be the Blue Ranger, you know, even though he was more of an Aqua, you know, but still, it's just like, I don't know. I just didn't care for that too much.
Well, they tied it. See, that's the other thing. They tied the colors into the powers because red is the Wind Ranger, blue is the Water Ranger, and yellow is the Dirt Ranger.
Yeah, but they could have easily made her the Dirt Ranger and made him the Water Ranger. You know, no, it ain't no difference.
But that wouldn't make any that wouldn't make any sense because of what they do in their spare time. She serves.
Well, yeah, but then he could have served. It ain't that. I mean, it ain't that hard to do. She could have been a bike rider and he could have been a surfer.
Yeah, I guess
doable. I just don't want a guy Yellow Ranger. Are we gonna have a guy Pink Ranger soon? Because I don't want to see that.
Well, we'll have something. We won't have exactly that, but we'll have something similar to that when we get to SPD.
Oh no! I know nothing about SPD. It's great.
Rough. That's all I'm gonna say.
but anyway, there's something else I didn't like was their Zords that mm-hmm. where they came from. Now, don't get me wrong, Zords were cool. Actually, you know what? Let's not get to that yet.
Not get to the Zords yet.
Let's finish up.
All right. So the allies, we have the Sensei, Kanoi Watanabe, and also the I don't know why Dino Thunder is listed here. I mean, they teamed up in the Dino Thunder episode, but they didn't team up here.
Cyber Cam.
Yeah, Cyber Cam.
And Kelly, the owner of the, what was this? The place where everybody worked.
Yeah, Storm Chargers.
Storm, yeah.
And then for villains, we have Lothar, Zergane, Chubu, Vexicus, Mullet, Moto Drone, Shimazu. And then,
his two nieces.
Yeah, his two nieces.
Capri and what is that? Mariah?
Mara. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
I can't even remember now. I've watched 25 episodes of Dino Thunder. I've always forgot their stupid names.
Yeah. The Kelzaks were all right as far as the foot soldiers go.
Yeah, I was perfectly fine with them. I thought they did a good job.
Yeah, they did a good job. Zergane should have been the main villain here. He honestly should have been. Chubu is just... God.
Mm.
That's just so stupid.
Which one? Who was that? Which one was Chubu?
Chubu is the dumb one. Chubu is the one that gets evicted right away.
Mm-hmm.
Lieutenant of Lothar's army, he resembles an overweight Asian man wearing a mountain climbing equipment with a mustache and a green reptilian skin. He wielded a white and red striped baton. He was promoted to general when he captured the Thunder Rangers and manipulated them into opposing the Wind Rangers. He's essentially a combined version of Squat and Babu.
Again.
Yeah.
We have another one.
Yeah. Out of the villains, minus the dumbest one, which is Lothar, out of the villains, who did you like?
So, Vexicus.
Yeah. I liked Vexicus, and I liked Zergane as well.
I just like how Vexicus kept plotting against Zergane, trying to Vexicus was just plotting against everybody.
Yeah.
My guy had a plan, and it was just to rule everything, apparently. Because that's what he, because he ended up destroying it. He ended up killing Zergane.
Yeah.
Even though it backfired on him in the long run.
Yep. Yeah, the villains in this, especially the main villain, is just forgettable all the way around. Getting into the arsenal, we have the Wind, Thunder, and Samurai Cyclone Morpher.
I liked them.
The Wind Morphers are cool. I think I like the design of the Thunder Morphers and just the Thunder morphing sequence the best. The Samurai Morpher is just kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't want to carry something around that I have to morph with. You know what I mean?
Oh God, that's stupid. That's the other thing I hate about this series. Hey, let me go find a weapon that's a freaking ukulele or a guitar or what. Oh,
that was stupid. Whatever it was.
Yes.
What was that thing? A mammoth?
Yeah, I don't know. Mandolin something, I don't know.
What was the Zord that they called it? It was like a giant, like, mammoth.
Oh, yeah. The Zord was the mammoth.
Yeah.
I like the Lightning Morpher, his Red Ranger's Wind
Battleizer.
I like the Battleizer. I think the story how he got the Battleizer would have been cool if she didn't kill herself, but I guess that's the whole point of the plot there.
Yeah.
And then the other weapons, like the Ninja Sword, the standard Wind Ranger weapon. I like swords and guns and stuff, but I don't know. These were just kind of bland to me. They just didn't really do anything. And the same thing with the laser blaster.
Well, they were ninjas with ninja swords, so, you know.
I know, but it just didn't... it just didn't really do that much for me.
Right.
The Thunder Staff, which is the standard Thunder Ranger weapon, can become a Thunder Shield or the Tornado Star throwing weapon as well. To extend a full length staff. I like the Thunder Staffs. I thought they were kind of cool.
If I had to pick, if they said, Scotty Cash, you are now a Power Ranger, you can have a staff or a ninja sword. I got to be honest, I'm going with a ninja sword. But that's only because I would just end up taking my own legs out or something with a giant staff that I had to throw around like a, you know, Donatello.
And then we also have the Thunderstorm Cannon, the combination of the Wind Ranger's Storm Striker and the Thunder Ranger's Thunder Blaster. According to Super Sentai continuity, the Thunderstorm Cannon can combine with the Z-Rex Blaster from Power Rangers Dino Thunder. This combination would more than likely be called the Z-Rex Thunderstorm. That's kind of weird. The Storm Striker, which is the cannon formed by combining the Wind Ranger's weapons... The Storm Striker was okay.
I don't know. I don't really like when they combine all their weapons, and I don't like their stupid bikes. Every single series has them, and I mean, I know it's just to pass time or whatever.
Yeah.
Or to blow them up so they can make them big, but I don't know. I've just seen it so many damn times that it's just old. I don't care what the weapons are. Let's put them together, guys. And it's just like, no.
Yeah. Stop
putting them together.
The tsunami cycles are just dumb.
Yeah, I've never ever said, oh, those are kind of neat on any of the cycles in any of the series. I don't like dirt Power Rangers riding around on dirt bikes. I just don't like it.
You needed a mobile command center to house the tsunami cycles, an 18-wheeler truck that houses the tsunami. God. Oh, my God. I didn't like that so much
because that makes a little bit more sense of how Rangers get to, you know, the scenes or the accidents or wherever the monsters are faster than normal.
Right.
But
I mean, it does make sense, but just not in that description they need this because they have to transport the cycles. That is what to me doesn't make any damn sense. Getting into the Zords, it makes sense that the Hawk is an airplane, or it morphs out of an airplane. It makes sense that the Dolphin morphs out of the water, or out of whatever the hell it does. The how do you get a lion out of a roller coaster?
It was a Ferris wheel, it wasn't a roller coaster.
What? Okay, Ferris wheel. How do you get a lion out of a Ferris wheel? And aren't people at that amusement park going to say, hey, wasn't there a Ferris wheel there?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say earlier. That's stupid. Well, how about the boat that turns into a shark or the plane? Like, wait, I swear to God, there was just a plane right here.
Yeah.
Take this plane.
Yeah.
Maybe
you're
right. Maybe it was a roller coaster, but I was thinking it was a Ferris wheel.
No, it is a Ferris wheel. You're right.
Okay.
Okay. It is.
But yeah. I mean, like, what about the guy that's waiting in line? Like, oh, God, I've been waiting an hour and a half to get on this ride, and it just got up and ran away. But, I definitely did not like that whatsoever.
I think, honestly, out of the main, not counting Thunder Rangers, out of red, yellow, blue, and green, I like Cam Zord the best, the Samurai Zord. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, because he was kind of, I mean, he could go by himself. He could combine with the other ones. He had a couple different transformations. Yeah, I mean, I definitely dug it. I didn't dislike any of the Zords. Well, I could have done without a Dolphin. I just don't think badass when I think Dolphin. You know, in the long run, I'm probably glad they did a Dolphin instead of another shark like they've already done, or a hammerhead shark like they've already done, which I like the sharks in Wild Force, but they just did a little something a little different, and they did a Dolphin this time, which is fine. But yeah, overall, I loved the Zords. The Thunder Power Megazord was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that was an amazing, amazing
thing. I tried super hard to get one of those from the command center, this last one I just did last weekend. But I mean, those things, if you can find it, it's just crazy high.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems like every Megazord is just so expensive, which is fine, because once you hunt it down and you finally complete it, it's a little bit more satisfaction for you that you know that you got something that's worth a little something, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I would definitely have to find that, because that was pretty awesome.
And as far as the larger combinations, the Thunderstorm, I like the Thunderstorm Megazord, and I like the Hurricane Megazord. I thought those were really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
The Mammoth Zord, which is the Mighty Mammoth Zord, Giant Elephant Carrier. Oh, God.
It was awesome. But I didn't like the ukulele, like you said, and I didn't like how all the buildings around it just disappeared. Like, really, like a helicopter didn't see that, or an airplane didn't say, hey... Yeah. So-and-so, look down there between those buildings. Is that seriously not a giant mastodon? Because I'm pretty sure that's what that is.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're also talking about a fictional story that we could probably pick apart if we want to, but...
That's true.
We're just saying some of the things we disliked.
Yeah, and there are a lot. I mean, you know, if you just watch this series and have fun with it, it's all right, but because we also analyze it, I would have rather had a Tor carrier sword.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to do it for the Zords. We're going to head over to Spada. He's going to give you the Sentai stuff, and we'll come back after this.
Hey gang, Spade of the Bolt Matrix here, and this time we are talking about Ninpu Sentai Harikenja, also pronounced Hurikanja. The series aired from February of 2002 to February of 2003, and was the second series to feature a ninja motif. This time, though, the show focused on the stealth aspects and mystical techniques of the ninja, rather than their martial arts abilities. In one of the top ninja schools, three very strong-willed students aren't exactly fitting in. When they skip out on a class meeting, space alien ninjas known as the Jakanja attack the school and capture the entire student and teacher population. Those students are never mentioned again and are later presumed dead. Mugensai, the school's head teacher, turns himself into a hamster in order to escape from the attack. The trio were contacted and taken to a secret base by Mugensai's daughter, Oboro, and then given the Hurricane Gyros. They then use the devices to become the legendary Hurricanja and fight the alien threat. If this plot sounds a bit familiar to Power Rangers fans, that would be because it is almost exactly the same plot as Ninja Storm, only there are a few differences, and those being the head teacher had a son instead of a daughter in Power Rangers, and the students were not all murdered. The other differences include how the additional three Rangers were portrayed. Two students from a rival ninja school decide to challenge the Hurricanja. If the Go Raiger are able to defeat the students of the Hayate Way Ninja School, or the Wind Ninja School, their school will become the greatest. The Go Raiger team up with the Jakanja because they believe they have a common enemy in the Hurricanja. They later betray the Jakanja and sort of team up with the Hurricanja, but the teams don't exactly get along. The reason is because the Go Raiger believe that if they become friends with their rivals, they are letting go of their teachings and pride. This is a very, very Japanese concept that just didn't fly in the Americas, so the Rangers were brainwashed instead. Another difference is that the Go Raiger are actually brothers, or are actually brothers, like they have the same parents. But their father was a bit on the crazy side. Their father left instructions for the older brother to kill the younger brother. Not only that, but the older brother was also mad with rage, while the younger brother was filled with self-loathing and doubt. While these concepts were brought over to the Americas in a much lesser extent, seeing these in the Japanese version is kind of disturbing, especially for the Kabuto Ranger, or the Crimson Ranger. He was raging like the Hulk. In many episodes, it was really kind of disturbing to see just how angry he was. Another major difference was the green Shurikenger. His identity was never revealed, rather he was disguised as other characters, so Bandai really used all these other characters that were in the show. Side characters and even the Rangers themselves were actually the Shurikenger in disguise. 10 years ago, he was named Kagura Asuka, and he was a great ninja who was expected to become a Hurikenger, but he suddenly disappeared. He was offered by Gozen, who is a mystical ninja goddess who was only introduced in episode 39. She offered him great power, but it came with a significant sacrifice. He gave up his humanity, and his face physically became the helmet. Very weird character, but this was an interesting backstory for a character that really didn't do much other than support the Rangers. Sadly, though, both he and Gozen were killed at the end of the series. The Rangers' arsenal, weapons, and Zords are exactly as they show in the American version, the only difference being that Orboro constructed them instead of Cam. The space ninja group Jakanja are a ruthless band of aliens based in their fortress Centipede. Their goal is to bring Earth to ruins in order to evoke the quote-unquote evil force that would form in the depths of the ocean before destroying the universe. This group was led by Tao Zanto, who was nothing more than a centipede-like monster that never moved, but had the ability to electrocute just about anybody. The other generals are exactly as they are in Ninja Storm, right down to the costuming of the human bad guys. Even the sets are the same, the only real difference being that the US version had much darker lighting. Also, there was no Lothar in Hurikenger, thankfully. The overall story is filled with lots of intense drama. The plot surrounding the Go Rigers and their father was particularly gripping, as well as the story between Shurikenger and Gozen. The fight scenes were all solid. All the characters grew and developed really well during the series, especially the Go Rigers. Again, these guys were pretty much the focal point of the entire show once they appeared. There are some weaknesses, however, and especially on the villain side with Tao Zanto, he only gained a mobile form in the last episode. Some of the interactions between the generals was also a little ham-fisted, and a couple of the other villains that appeared later throughout the show were horribly evil, but no real reason for them being evil, if that makes any sense. Sadly, though, the weakest links in the show were the Red and the Yellow Rangers. They're widely considered the weakest characters in the show by most fans. It's not known whether the actors were to blame or just the writing was bad. No interesting backstory were given to why they are the way they are. Through most of the series, they're just kind of dumb and lazy in a lot of times, but if any word really describes them, it's bland. They just were there and kind of fulfilled these weird stereotypes of some Japanese teenagers at the time or other Japanese shows at the time. They really were stereotypes that, again, were just kind of there filling shoes. Another kind of annoyance was Tao Zanto himself. he is actually considered by most of the Sentai fandom to be the worst supervillain of Super Sentai. The long and short of it is, he really doesn't do anything but just be a lump in the back of the fortress and yell at people. In the final episode, he got a new form after absorbing the quote-unquote evil force, but then was defeated by our heroes about 10-15 minutes later. Yeah, pretty dumb. Some fans see Hurricanger as one of the most dark, one of the darker seasons of Sentai, while others have seen it as a lighter version of Sentai. While it had many lighthearted moments, overall it was pretty darn dark. Those darker themes included the backstories of the Gorigers, the Shurikanger, mass murder on the part of the evil generals, the realization that the entire ninja school was murdered, and the final battle pretty much leveling most of Japan. Sentai fans, though, treat Shurikanger rather oddly. It's not really that popular, but it's not really hated either. It's got a lot of fans who say, yeah, it was okay. Which is kind of odd. Based on the show I saw, it was pretty dark. I mean, there was, like, family... Let's just put it this way. There are things in that series that I have never seen in other Sentai. I don't want to get into it because this is a family show. But it's pretty dark at times and pretty graphic as well, especially during flashback sequences. So I would recommend looking it up. There are a bunch of episodes, I believe up to, at the time of this recording, up to episode 5 has been subbed that I know of. I think there are a couple of Hong Kong subs floating out there that you can find that are okay, but pick this one up. It's definitely different from most of your Super Sentai series. I hope you've enjoyed this look at the Hurricanger series. You can check me out, Spade of the Bolt Matrix, at YouTube at youtube.com/BoltMatrix, where I have, in fact, reviewed the three main mecha from this series. You can also find me on Twitter at twitter.com/BoltMatrix. I'll catch you guys next time.
So thank you, Spade, for that Sentai coverage. That series... just
evil.
Spada mentions in the clip that there are some dark tones in that series with the villains and everything else. I'm just glad I don't watch I don't care for the Japanese series. Every time Spada has done one of his amazing clips that he does, he puts a lot of hard work into it, puts a lot of research into it, and I'm very grateful to have him on the show. Every time I listen to one of his clips, it's like, why? What do I want to watch this for? I just don't understand it.
Well, I don't know. You know, some teach their own. People like different stuff, but
right.
The reason I want to go back and watch some of these now is so I can personally see the differences in them.
Yeah.
You know, but before we get too far along, we did forget some of the vehicles and some of the weapons. We forgot the samurai saber.
Yeah.
Forgot the Thunderblade. That was a pretty good episode when Blake got the Thunderblade from his sensei, and
yeah.
He'd been practicing with it. And then I want to take something back. The Ninja Glider Cycle was actually not that bad. They did the same sequence for it every time, even though they were not in the same area. It wasn't that bad. So I will say that one of the cycles is decent.
Yeah.
But the tsunami cycle, poop.
Yeah, they suck.
Yep. And probably the ninja gliders, poop. But the ninja glider cycle, not too bad.
Right,
but
yeah.
But yes, thank you, Spada, for your hard work.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody's different, and everybody likes something a little different. So, you know, a lot of people prefer Sentai over Mighty Morphin because they like the darker stuff. They like the more evil stuff, you know?
Yeah. All right, so what are some of your favorite episodes from Ninja Storm?
Going through... I do like all the Thunder episodes.
Yep.
Let me try to find... Because there was... I need to start... I really start need to write these down. Okay, you're going to hate me. I love Luthor.
What episode... Oh...
No, where he goes on TV and he's trying to like brainwash people.
God.
That was not too bad. I was just like, this ain't too bad. Let me think. What was the episode? I'm almost positive it was a standalone episode where Dustin gives his bike up and he's trusting everybody and the chick is like faking good. That one wasn't too bad.
Yeah, that was like
something
that
trust
was really
or trusting
cool.
everyone or.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head. Yeah,
but then at the very end, the guy's like, "Yeah, dude, the dude messed up my cards. Here's your bike," and I was just like, "Oh, you got you good."
Yeah.
Well, apparently I cannot find it.
Yeah,
because it was after the Thunder Rangers because they were there and he was like they were telling him about you can't trust everybody.
Right. Yeah.
What about you? What's some of your favorite?
I like the introduction. Tori is portrayed as a tomboy.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit she is. I dislike Beauty and the Beach. That's just why do they have to do that every series? They have to have a, you know, beauty episode.
That's just the way they do it.
I know, but still, you know, as you said, I like all the return, you know, I like all the Thunder episodes. I do like Samurai's Journey, that three-parter with Cam, because it actually told a story about Cam instead of just having him be the tech guy. I did like that.
Tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
Dustin gets a solo act because he chases those robbers off. That was kind of neat. He kind of got an ego.
That was kind of cool, yeah.
As a standalone episode, that was not too bad. Yeah, I can't find it. I don't know what I'm doing wrong here, but it was like something trust or I can't remember where.
Yeah, it was one of the earlier episodes because I'm looking here at I forget. People will correct us or tell us which it was. That's fine. That's not a problem. I don't know. Oh, the Scent of a Ranger. That was so friggin' stupid.
Which one was that?
That was the one where Cam's weird behavior comes at a bad time when Fragara captures two of
them
in perfume bottles. That's so friggin' stupid.
I agree. Hey, what did you think about, before we get too far ahead also, what about all the little guys that helped out the Zords, like their the gun and the hammer and all that? Did you like those? Did you like how that worked?
I was going to talk about this when we were talking about the Zords, but
did you forgot?
Yeah, well, whatever.
I liked it. I mean, it was something a little different instead of the same Zord pulling out the same sword and cutting somebody. You know what I mean?
Well,
it was
right,
like,
but here's the thing though. What I didn't like was the episode where the first Thunderstorm Megazord team-up happened. What I didn't like was Cam's like, yeah, I fixed the Zords, but there's this one extra piece, and I have no idea what it goes to. And like 5 minutes before he figured it out, I figured it out. I'm like, dude, it's the friggin' piece that you use to combine the two Zords. We're essentially playing Pogs with these Megazords.
What do you mean?
The power discs. They look like friggin' Pogs.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. And then, you know, power disc, go! And then out comes a Pokeball with a new power in. I liked it. I thought it was cool, but I just flashed a Pokemon. What I did like about the Thunderstorm Megazord team-up of how they combined was the dude that came out and, you know, said, you know, combine or whatever.
The little ninja guy.
Yeah, whatever the little ninja guy says. I like that because I don't think it's the exact same voice, but it reminds me of Megazord Activate. That's what it reminded me of, and I thought that was really cool.
That little bitty guy's in Gokaiger, which was the last year's Sentai episode, our season. Cool. And he's in there. I think he's blue, though, not green. And he's pretty badass. All right. So we talked about some of the episodes you hated and liked.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the ending? I mean, did you feel like it was building up to something huge and it was kind of a letdown, or did you like how they done it? I mean, you know, they could have ended it like they did, where they used like wind and earth and water and all that stuff, and that could have been fine. But it was just the way they did it was very subtle. It was just like, look, we don't have any powers, but yeah, take that with you. And then he fell off. I don't know.
Well, no, what he said was, he said, you know, we may not, you know, be Power Rangers anymore, but we still have power. And I think that's one of the things I like about the civilian powers, is that no matter what, if you want to fight for something, go fight for it. If you don't have any weapons, do the best you can. And I think that's a good message. And I like the ending. I thought it was fairly well done. I liked how essentially in Power Rangers time, a year or so has passed from the beginning of the series to the end of the series, or a number of years might, I don't know. Power Rangers time in Power Rangers is weird.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah. Exactly. Time does not exist.
It seemed like time for
how everything came full circle with the Rangers, how, you know, they are, you know, going back and becoming teachers at this. I did like how it ended. I thought it was kind of cool because it puts a finality on it, and then we can go on into whatever the next season would be.
I guess I shouldn't have said the ending of it. I should have said the way that they beat Luthor, because that was kind of quick. He fell down in the hole, something blew up in the hole, the hole closed, he's gone forever. It was just kind of like, really? That fast, now it's done. Because he was whooping them. I mean, he took all their powers and everything. Or their ranger powers, and stripped them of their battleizers and their morphers, and it was just like, I don't know.
Yeah. Overall, I liked the ending. I thought it was pretty cool. We kind of already talked about the theme song. We kind of put that at the beginning of the show. I mean, it's not one of my favorites, I'll tell you that. It's okay, but it's not something I can listen to on a regular basis.
Right.
You've done some of the toy reviews for this, haven't you?
No, I don't have any Ninja Storm toys.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
Yep. I don't have the Morpher. I don't have any fig. Ah, I lied. I have one. I have the blue. I have Dustin's figure that I got. Somebody sent me a lot of stuff, or in a trade or whatever, and somebody threw in a bunch of Rangers, and he happened to be in there with no weapons or nothing, so he's all by himself. I wouldn't mind having the Crimson and Navy Rangers complete, but I don't really care about any of the other ones.
Yeah. And as we already mentioned at the beginning of the show, Shout Factory and Time Life have a PR deal going on, so I'm sure we will see a DVD set for Ninja Storm. Until then, you can get it on Netflix. I'm not going to talk about the stuff that was released in Germany and the stuff that was released in the UK, because that doesn't affect us here in the United States.
Unless you have a Region 2 DVD player.
Yeah.
And some people do.
Yeah, some people do. All right, so with that, we're going to go to a break. You're going to hear some ads from both PCN and GCRN, and we'll come back to close the show after that.
What it is, friends. Sween Hollick here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
Grab your helmets because it's time to assemble MASK. The Geekcast Radio Network has launched MASK to Mayhem with your hosts Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike. This podcast covering all 75 episodes of MASK will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. MASK Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us at iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Get your spectrums ready as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
This is Eric, the Quantum Ranger, and you're listening to From the Command Center. Q-Rex, arise!
So we are back here on From the Command Center. Now, some clarification. We're going to get into some fan feedback here. When I read that long-ass email in episode 13, I guess I glossed over the main point. I kind of did talk about it, but that whole email was kind of weird. But Pat has since he commented on the episode 13 post on geekcastradio.com. And he says, is talking about me. I got a rather large feedback email from a fan. His main point was an idea. He wanted to know if Scotty, Spada, and the listeners thought it a good idea to have a pre-Power Rangers Sentai history lesson. Basically, if Spada agreed to it, he would do the same segment he already does on the current season Sentai. But for the 15 seasons before Zoo Ranger, this 3-minute history lesson would be placed after the From the Command Center credits roll, or could be short episodes covering 3 to 5 series an episode. Without Go Ranger, there would be no Power Rangers. I agreed to that. Well, I didn't agree to that. I understand what Pat's trying to go for here, and that's all well and good, but we have said from the beginning that we are all about... I know Scotty's getting into the Sentais, and that's great, because he wants to learn about that. I am all about the American stuff. And that's mainly what the show's about, is the American stuff. I mean, in this episode alone, Spada talked for almost 8-9 minutes on the Sentai for Ninja Storm. You know.
And it's hard to get people to commit to something.
Yeah.
Because Spada does not, Spada has a life.
Spada has a life, a wife, a job.
He does a ton of reviews.
Yeah, he does a ton of YouTube reviews and all that stuff. So finding time for him once a month to do an 8-minute clip, it doesn't take a lot, but it does sometimes, because life happens.
No, it absolutely takes a lot. I mean, it might only be an 8-minute clip, but he has to put effort into researching that so he doesn't just...
Right.
I mean, he has seen the seasons, but he goes back and researches them so he doesn't just start spouting out the mouth.
Right.
Say something incorrect, because that's not how Spada rolls.
Yeah, no, not at all.
But, Spada likes being accurate in everything that he does, so it's...
Well, same with us. We like being accurate, too. But yeah, Pat, if you want to do that kind of a podcast, that would be great. It's just not something...
I'd listen to it.
And there you go. You got your first listener right there. You haven't even done the show yet. You got your first listener. It's just one of those things where American is what we focus on. And also, Chaotix, as always, chimes in with his thoughts on each of the series. He says, Ninja Storm is Disney's first season. It is awesome because of its satirical and comedic nature. Technically, you're wrong. Wild Force was the... first season. But anyway, what other season has the villain say, I've been waiting for this all season, when he attacks in the finale? Just don't take it too seriously as a PR season and you'll be fine. We also have one last bit of feedback. We have a new iTunes review. I did not send this to you, but was left by Anthony Flippo on June 1st, 2012. Great podcast, 5-star review. Enjoy listening to the podcast y'all do with the Power Rangers. Learn many insights I didn't know with watching the show as I grew up. One question, though. Knowing Saban has taken back Power Rangers, it would be awesome if they did an offset season detailing and showing the story of how the ancient powers of the Rangers started, maybe even giving us a story showing the relation to Rita and how she got placed in the capsule before the men on the planet released her, and how she got there. The story of Zordon and the Rangers before the original team, maybe an origin Rangers, but anyway, y'all keep up the podcast going if possible. May the power protect you.
That'll never
essentially
happen.
What he wants to, what he would like to do, happen is what not really what Tyler asked us about last episode, but he wants an origin Anthony wants an origin story of before MMPR. I honestly don't know if that would work nowadays.
Yeah, I definitely don't see it happening, but it's obviously there obviously is origin story before,
right?
Morphin. You could easily just go back and do the other, what is it, 15 or 16 Sentai episodes.
Yeah.
You know, and talk about this is how it started. Or you could just adopt Go Ranger or whatever the first Sentai was and just do it that way. But I don't see it happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until the movie came out, it was pretty much like Zordon had the powers, and that's where he got them. You know what I mean? Like, he had the powers, and that's kind of like, I don't know. Because they never did really say where Zordon came from.
No, they did. He came from the planet Eltar, but there wasn't really anything.
Yeah, but why? You know, why?
Well,
why
right. There wasn't any, like, background, but I don't know. I like the continuity that we've had so far.
I would totally watch an origin story. Yeah. Well, I would probably. You know, again, I watch Samurai, so I would watch anything Power Rangers. But yeah, Samurai is a hot mess.
All right. So thank you for joining us here on From the Command Center. There's several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the network websites, www.geekcastradio.com and www.popculturenetwork.com. You can join the forums over on PCN. You can leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Thank you again for our feedback. Follow us on Twitter. Mine is TFG and Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio and at, I think it's Pop Culture Net for Pop Culture Network. Scotty's afraid of Twitter. become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. You can also search at popculturenetwork.com on Facebook. You can find the award-winning PCN series on YouTube for From the Command Center, the video series, youtube.com/Pop Culture Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving a message for and your name. 502-526-5821. For Geekcast Radio, if you have a microphone, USB microphone, or headset, you can actually go to our website. On the right-hand side, there's a button that says Send Voicemail Now. There is a 5-minute time limit on that. We hope you enjoyed this episode of From the Command Center and wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing the Power Rangers talk with some more thunder, with Power Rangers Dino Thunder. Man, is someone definitely back in black.
How long have you been waiting to say that?
Oh, 15 episodes. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Scotty Cash.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Power protect you.